This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This hour of the Annie Fry Show is sponsored by The Loading Dock. River views, outdoor dining, live music, and overnight accommodations. Visit GraftonLoadingDock.com.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
For goodness sake, Kith, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not
America's
sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
I was on the border yesterday working with both the Texas National Guard as well as the Texas Department of Public Safety as we are preparing for the potential arrival of this caravan, understanding this, and that is the Biden administration is AWOL. The Biden administration has abandoned any pretense of securing the border, and it's left it only to the state of Texas to step up and to secure our own border. As a result, we have thousands of National Guard as well as Texas Department of Public Safety officers, including Texas Rangers, making sure that we are providing the resources we need to secure the border, as well as Texas is in the process of building a wall as well as making arrests of people coming across the border illegally and trespassing in the state of Texas.
That's the Texas Governor Abbott talking about the Biden administration being AWOL on protecting our border. And we see these stories. I was thinking, when I saw the headline come through that there was another migrant caravan headed towards our southern border, it's like in my mind, there are a dozen stories that exist. They all get put in a hat, and then we just draw out, oh, migrant caravan. We're doing that story again. They just keep coming. They come over and over again. And when you listen to them talk about it, it's because of President Biden. They actively say that President Biden is why they are coming here. Listen to this report here from Fox and Friends.
Impatient, illegal, would-be future illegal immigrants to our border bust through where they were waiting in Mexico because
through.
They said it wasn't moving fast enough. So obviously they broke through past the security and they're heading our way.
The Mexican National Guard tried to stop him, but they pushed through. We're being told 4,000 heading to Mexico City. They're about 1,000 miles away from the United States. They're stuck in limbo. They said they're waiting for asylum applications to be processed, but they're told appointments are full. So now they're going to the next city.
So you hear this and you see this and you go, well, this is not good, right? Well, if I won't talk about you, I'll talk about me. If I can sit here in the middle of the country and go, what is going on? Why is this happening? If this was happening in your subdivision, in your neighborhood, if something like this was occurring, would you not be terrified? When it happens on the southern border and we're here in the middle of the country, it seems a little bit more distant. It seems as though these issues maybe aren't our problems. Yeah, they're American problems. Yeah, we've got a southern border and yeah, it's worth protecting. But hey, we live in the heartland right now. We worry about tornadoes and humidity and mosquitoes. It's kind of the problems that we end up dealing with here in the middle of the country. And in many cases, this is one of the reasons why we do live in the middle of the country. It just feels secure and safe. These caravans that continue to flood our southern border, who's stopping them? What's stopping them? And are they even interested in stopping them? Because it continues to happen over and over and over again. And when the president says that he's gone to the southern border, when the president says that he's visited it in a vehicle and it's kind of a haphazard answer, don't you just kind of go, wait, what? Like, what are you talking about here? Suggesting that somehow or another his visit to the southern border has been adequate and he is unsure of whether he's
there. I've been there before and I haven't. I mean, I know it well. I guess I should go down, but the whole point of it is I haven't had a whole hell of a lot of time to get down. I've been spending time going around looking at the $900 billion worth of damage done by hurricanes and floods and weather and traveling around the world. But I plan on, now my wife Jill has been down. She's been on both sides of the river. She's seen the circumstances there. She's looked into those places. You notice you're not seeing a lot of pictures of kids lying on top of one another looks like tarps on top of them.
What is this man talking about? And if he says, you notice you're not seeing pictures of these children, the Biden administration is not allowed photographs. The Biden administration, if that's a talking point of his, that we can look at the southern border and say, well, you're not seeing pictures of these kids being crammed into, you know, kids in cages, hearing that over and over and again. When you listen to President Biden there say you're not seeing pictures of these kids, well, the Biden administration has forbidden people to take photographs. They have had members of Congress decide to go down there and been asked to delete photos that they've taken. It's just a little bit ridiculous. Listen here to, I'm going to play this clip right now. This is Chip Roy. And I want you to listen to what he has to say here. Just give him.
They're using asylum as the crux for all this, as the crutch. They're saying, hey, if you in this world want to come to the United States, you claim asylum, you can come in. Now he's creating, this president purposefully is creating an entitled class of migrants who do not qualify for asylum under our laws.
So you've got a migrant caravan of immigrants headed our way, who are going to basically storm the border and demand asylum. They're going to demand the benefits of being an American citizen from a government who is welcoming them. They're not doing anything to stop it. I just played for you President Biden speaking about how, well, I guess I should go to the border. But he mentions that his wife has been to the border. We didn't elect his wife to be the president of the United States. And if you're suggesting somehow that you should, but you haven't had time, it's your priority. You're the one who sets where you go and what you consider to be an administrative priority. Clearly, it's not the border. Jim Carafano joins us right now, leading expert in national security and foreign policy at the Heritage Foundation. Jim, welcome back to the show. Good to have you here.
This is where I get to say I told you so. Because remember, we had this conversation in Del Rio, and I said Del Rio is not a crisis. It's this, you know, whatever, 1,700 migrants, you know, coalescing under a bridge. This is the playbook that once people see that this works and the administration rush down to the border to shepherd those people quickly into the United States to get it off the front pages, that everybody else would say, okay, that's a tactic, and that we would see more of these. And this is not just coincidence. This is the next wave, and there'll be a wave after that. And we will not be, you know, if you remember back the first time we had this conversation, I said, at this pace, we'll have a million people illegally in this country this year under Biden. And then in a couple of months, I came back and said, you know what? I was way too conservative. It was 2 million. And we will have tens of millions of people illegally coming into the United States under this president from all over the world. And we're already seeing people coming from all over the world. And they have no game plan to deal with this.
Yeah.
other than just let them in.
So if, you know, we have 2022 coming up, we have a midterm here where we could maybe take the speakership likely away from Nancy Pelosi, maybe take the Senate back. Most of how we're handling the southern border, though, is it through executive order? Is there anything that can be done without changing the president of the United States?
So I think in general, let's assume the conservative dream scenario that every conservative in America woke up one day and the conservative majority controlled the House and the Senate. Mm-hmm. You would still have the problem where you don't have a supermajority, which means you cannot overrule a president's veto. So the notion of them coming in with a sweeping legislative agenda and fixing everything, that's not going to happen. This would require leadership that could really put the administration in positions where they have to make uncomfortable compromises, because the president, using his executive power, can do most of these things. Many of this, let me tell you, they absolutely strain the limit of what's legally imaginable. I mean, the notion that the president of the United States can basically by fiat say, hire illegal aliens. I don't care if it's against the law. You hire them, we just won't prosecute you, we promise. I mean, this is, we've reached limits. I think two things would have to happen for there to be any change on the border whatsoever. One is you'd have to have leadership in the Congress that was constantly pressuring the president by cutting off money, refusing to fund things, to make compromises. And the other is the overwhelming notion that getting reelected was simply impossible under these current policies. So winning an election in 2022 doesn't guarantee that the border is going to be any more secure in 2023.
Yeah. That's, elections have consequences. We're living that right now. Real quick before I let you go, Jim Chirifano with us right now from Heritage Foundation. A Fox News report says that United States intelligence, according to a top Pentagon official, has said that intelligence shows that ISIS-K, the Islamic State's group's Afghanistan affiliate, could potentially have the ability to strike American targets in as little as 6 months, while al-Qaeda can also increase its capabilities. That's a bleak outlook. Six months, that's not very long from right now. Are they strengthening, and do we have concern here in the homeland?
I don't know why they said 6 months. I don't know why it can't be 6 days or 6 weeks. Look, I mean, you pulled off 9/11 essentially with a dozen guys who weren't stupid and moderately well-organized with a not-too-stupid plot. You don't need infrastructure, a 401k plan, Mensa recruiting. You just need a place to organize this, which they now have in Afghanistan, and the will to do that, and enough global reach to do something. So I think I wake up every morning waiting for the next 9/11 under this president, who has given them the means and the opportunity to do this. He's given them the motivation now that they're on the march, and he's taken our entire domestic infrastructure and he's turned it on its head. And the Homeland Security is helping bring aliens into the country and demobilizing the border. And the Department of Justice and the FBI are focused on running around going after Biden's political enemies. So we have completely disarmed and we've incentivized the enemy to come after us. I don't know why people think we've got time, we've got weeks and months or whatever to deal with this, that it's not just going to show up any day now. It may not, but it may.
A top Pentagon official saying 6 months, you saying it could be much sooner than that. How in this political climate, politically speaking, who does the Biden administration have the luxury of blaming if something like that happens? Because that's all we get from the media today is whose fault is what? And depending on the channel you're watching, you have an idea of where that's going. Where does the Biden administration react?
This is a nightmare scenario. Look, I do not wish Americans to die in a terrorist attack for a political victory for anybody. I mean, that's just nuts. No, only an idiot would do that. But that is, to me, has to be the nightmare scenario. If there's a terrorist attack that happens on their watch from assets that come from overseas, they have literally no defense whatsoever. But nobody wants that to happen,
right?
Least of all their political opponents, right? No, I go to bed praying every night that, you know, they're more lucky that they, you know, than good. I don't care. They could be stupid and incompetent, but I pray they're lucky and we don't have a terrorist attack. But we are literally begging for one.
Jim Carafano, thank you so much for the time today. We always look forward to it. Encourage people to go to heritage.org or to follow you on Twitter at JJ Carafano. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Great talking to you.
You too. That's bleak is the word that keeps coming to my mind. But, you know, to listen to the top Pentagon official suggesting that somehow or another we're 6 to 10 months away from a potential terrorist attack here on the homeland, and listen to Jim Carafano be like, why would we not say sooner than that? That's a very frightening reality to live in. And, you know, I wonder, because to me, it seems like the only thing that holds the Democrats who are in power right now and the media that props them up, the only reason why we have a President Joe Biden is because the media put him there through going through a process of never asking him a question, never asking him an honest question, never putting him in a position where he had to answer tough questions to make sure that they would expose who he is truly as a person. And that could be a good thing or a bad thing for a political candidate. You think they got to be able to hang. They got to be able to hang with the media that's going to push them and press them on every single question every single day. They got to be able to hang in there and fight back and defend their agenda. Seems to me like the only thing that might be pushing them away from and acknowledging this and acting accordingly through foreign policy is the threat of something horrifically political happening to them. And that's disgusting. Very frustrating. Jason Chaffetz joins us when we come back. I'm going to be hosting the Vitae Foundation event in St. Charles this Thursday, where the keynote speaker is Jason Chaffetz. I'm so excited to be able to hear him on Thursday. Adsforlife.org if you want to check out that event and see if there's any tickets left. I'm going to talk to him about the culture war. You know, President Obama said it doesn't exist. How come I feel like I'm fighting in it every day? Jason Chaffetz talks with us when we come back. Don't go away.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Annie Fry Show. Interact with Annie on Facebook. The Annie Fry Show.
We don't have time to be wasting on these phony, trumped-up culture wars. This fake outrage that the right-wing media peddles to juice their ratings. And the fact that he's willing to go along with it instead of talking about serious problems that actually affect serious people, that's a shame. That's not what this election's about. That's not what you need, Virginia. Instead of forcing our communities to cut back at a time when we're just starting to recover, we should be doing more to support people who are educating our kids and keeping our neighborhoods safe.
This from the author of The Culture Wars, President Obama, who used the culture crisis that we find ourselves in right now to get elected and to get reelected and to stay relevant. The culture wars are authored in many cases by President Obama. Yet he wants to suggest that people in my position use this trumped up thing, no pun intended, to get ratings. No, I'm sorry. When I talk about the attorney general writing and directing the FBI to pay attention to the domestic terrorists at school board meetings, that culture war is not started by me. It's not trumped up. And the fact that it would possibly have a positive reaction on my ratings says something about the American people and about the direction this administration is taking this country. The ratings, I guess, thank you. But for the country's sake, please, please, please stop. I want to talk a little bit about the culture wars. Do they exist with my friend Jason Chaffetz, who will be in St. Louis on Thursday at the Vitae Foundation, the keynote speaker. He's a Fox News contributor as well. Jason, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Looking forward to seeing you here in St. Louis on Thursday.
Yeah. Hey, thanks. Glad to be back. This can be a good event.
So you've got a book out there. It's called They Never Let a Crisis Go to Waste, Power Grab and the Deep State. Now, when you hear President Obama talking about the culture war and pretending that it doesn't exist, I mean, these guys kind of write the book on taking crises, trumping it up so that it affects people in an emotional way and then gaining political capital off of that. What's your reaction to President Obama's words there as he tries to get Terry McAuliffe elected in Virginia?
Terribly disappointed. It's all about dividing America and as opposed to bringing America together. I mean, one of the reasons people there in Loudoun County, Virginia, were so outraged is there was a man who tried to speak and talk about his daughter, and evidently the school board superintendent said that there was no sexual assault, there was no rape, and it was his daughter. And in fact, now that and the guy was right. And so for President Obama to try to classify that as some trumped up thing, when you talk about a guy's daughter and a male, going in with a skirt into the female restroom and then doing what they did, allegedly, this is not just some trumped up thing, some right wing conspiracy. And we're talking about kids and their education, for goodness sake. Why can't the Democrats want parents to understand, be engaged, and be participants in what's being taught at the schools? But that's not what the Democrats and Terry McAuliffe and evidently Obama, Biden, and Kamala Harris want. They want to make all the decisions, and there's a full assault going on in our schools, and parents better be paying attention.
I completely agree with you. We're speaking with Fox News contributor Jason Chaffetz, jasoninthehouse.com. When we talk about culture wars, and you pay attention to like a lot of what the media has covered and a lot of what very prominent people who come out of Hollywood, the entertainment industries, oftentimes now in our athletic competitions that we see on a professional scale, it's almost all about culture, telling us how we should live, how we're not allowed to live, words that we can say, words that we're absolutely not allowed to say. You know, the culture is a very top down managed entity right now, and it has a lot of people afraid to, you know, have a differing opinion that they're willing to voice. And I see it so much effective in politics and the way we vote. And if you don't believe one thing, you're labeled a really, really nasty name. Is there a place where the American public, the voting public, says, okay, we've had enough of this. We want to be able to think for ourselves. We don't want to be top-down managed, and we're not the awful people that you insinuate that we are if we don't subscribe to your exact line of thinking.
It's amazing to me and ironic that the very people who preach the most diversity are really some of the least diverse in their thinking of all. That if you don't think, act, and look exactly the way they want you to, then they're going to come after you. They're going to attack you. They're going to take you down. They're going to shame you, and they're going to cancel you. And it's so wrong. And they go to extremes like going after the police. I mean, if there's somebody in the police force who does something wrong, of course they should be prosecuted. But just like every other aspect of society, but as a whole, our first responders, you know, they are caught up in this as well. The Border Patrol's caught up in this. And really just anybody and everywhere, to the point of an extreme that I think the Democrats have pushed it too far. I think they've gone to this radical far left side that is such a minority that regular old parents and regular old folks who are just saying, look, get out of my grill here. I don't need you to tell me that everything I'm doing is wrong. And by the way, when I go to a ball game or I watch TV, and everything does not have to be political all the time.
Yeah. People are tired of it. People are really tired of it.
Yeah.
So we're speaking here with Jason Chaffetz. You are going to be in St. Charles here in St. Louis on Thursday because the Vitae Foundation has you featured as their keynote speaker. And abortion is one of these things that it's a super polarizing issue for people to talk about. It's one of those it's a deep conversation that a lot of people don't want to broach the subject of. But in the culture that we live in right now, pairing that with the science that we have right now, it's kind of one of those conversations I wish that we would have more often, because we have more information available to people, and in a way that we can support women by providing them science and helping them choose life. What about this issue are you willing to travel to the middle of the country here to St. Louis to talk about? And what do you want people to know who may not be able to attend this Thursday about that issue?
Well, life is precious. And for me and my wife, I think, you know, we have three kids. Our daughter's pregnant. Our daughter-in-law is pregnant right now. And look, the thing I like about the Vitae Foundation is it gives a young woman an opportunity to understand and make an informed decision. Now, hopefully that's a pro-life decision. So rather than running to a Planned Parenthood or running somewhere to go get an abortion, what Vitae does is it allows them to see and understand and get the resources that young woman needs in order to make an informed decision. And I think when she sees that there's a living, breathing baby there that will soon be breathing, I should say, with a heartbeat, and that it's formed and it has its own DNA, that this is more than just, oh, you know, I'm in trouble or I don't know what to do. And killing of that baby, that's never an acceptable solution. But what Vitae does is it provides that information, and what they do and how they do it and the research that they put behind. I mean, they're leading the nation, and they're right there in your old backyard. And mm-hmm. So I've done a few Vitae events, and I just think the Vitae Foundation is just such a worthwhile cause. And I think we'll have a good dinner and a good presentation. And I think anybody who's even remotely interested in this would really enjoy the evening. I really think they will Thursday night.
I completely agree with you. I've enjoyed these events. We had Trey Gowdy in town a month ago, who is, from what I understand, a friend of yours. And that was a wonderful event. And last year we had Matt Walsh at our fall event. And Jason going to be there this Thursday. AdsForLife.org if you want to go to the website to see if there are tickets available. Last question I want to ask you, Jason, is, you know, the issue of abortion in and of itself and how Vitae Foundation addresses it is they call themselves, and they are, pro-woman. And the narrative that exists in the political culture is that women's issues in and of itself includes pro-choice support. To suggest that women would care more about having, you know, everything be blanket statement pro-choice, that's a misnomer, but they get away with it because in many cases the left controls that narrative. I think that the conservative movement could do a better job, especially in the context of these culture wars that we're talking about that President Obama says don't exist, in espousing the benefits, the goodness that is involved in conservatism. Of course, being pro-woman with the Vitae Foundation is one of those ways. But I'm curious, can you sell me right now on the goodness of conservatism and how it actually does uphold and uplift people of all different walks of life?
Well, I think the whole concept of choice, what Vitae Foundation and those that are pro-life, it's the other part of the choice, right? So you have a choice to terminate or exterminate that young child, or you have the choice in order to choose life. And I just, at my core, I know my wife believes the same, at the core, it just believes that we're here to fight for the people who maybe don't have a voice, that conservatives believe in personal responsibility, and they believe in freedom and liberty, and that this is the greatest country on the face of the planet. And one of the things that we can do best as conservatives is to give that voice and that freedom and that opportunity to those who don't have that voice. And there's nothing more precious and more fragile than that young life that spark of life has entered it, and it comes into the world, has that opportunity and that choice. It has that opportunity and that freedom laying ahead of them. I think that's what conservatives, why they believe so strongly. And we believe in life, all of life. And that's a good thing. And I think that people that make the choice in favor of life, they just won't regret it. There's tough times, but they won't regret it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Jason Chaffetz, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Look forward to seeing you in St. Charles, Missouri, here on Thursday with the Vitae Foundation to continue to support the Vitae Foundation's efforts in bringing real scientific information and support to these women to help them choose life. We'll talk to you again soon, Jason. Thank you so much for the time.
Thanks, Annie. Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, adsforlife.org, if they have availability, I'm going to text with Nick here in a minute and see if there is availability, so I can push that for you. But I can promise you it's going to be a fun event. I'm hosting it, so I will be there. And Jason Chaffetz is the keynote speaker. And the speeches that you end up hearing at these events are really, really amazing and impactful. And you get to be a part of a solution, which is really what we have to start doing more of. What are we going to do about it? You got a problem with women, pro-abortive women who are doing so because they don't actually have the facts behind what they're doing. If you make that decision when you're 23, 25, and then you're pregnant at 30 because you planned it, and you go back and you think and you reflect on what you didn't know then and what you do know now, it's a pretty rough place to be. We'll be right back in just a minute, so don't go away. We've got Ken Paxton, the Texas Attorney General, who is going to be on with us at 2 o'clock. We're going to be talking about his lawsuit with Eric Schmidt, the Attorney General of the state of Missouri, who is suing the Biden administration because they want the border wall to continue construction. Ken Paxton will join us at 2 o'clock. More Annie Frye Show right around the corner. Don't go away.
Now take care of you along the
This
way.
Is the Annie Frye Show. Find the podcast, on-demand audio, and more at 971talk.com/Annie. The Annie Frye Show is streaming online. Watch us live on YouTube and subscribe.
Welcome back to the Annie Frye Show. So I'm going to give Brad an opportunity to get this off his chest. Watching the live chat on the Annie Frye YouTube channel right now. Go subscribe to the YouTube channel. And there's conversation going amongst the individuals there. And it's, Brad, you can kind of explain, how did this conversation start?
So the conversation started with a comment by one of the commenters. And we love all of our commenters on YouTube. I want to start off by saying that. And we enjoy and encourage healthy debate. But the commenters...
I don't care who you love or hate. Just be respectful.
Right. And so the commenter made a comment about, you know, the conversation on air was about the Biden administration and their failures. Mm-hmm. And so the commenter made a comment about how this is, well, yeah, but Trump, right? And so this is the trap, and this is what I want everybody to know. This isn't about Trump anymore. Donald Trump is not president. Donald Trump is not in charge of anything. Donald Trump is making noise in the best way that he knows how, but it's not, he's not the president. And so whenever you listen to a conversation with somebody and the response is, yeah, but Trump, well, that's not a good argument because Donald Trump isn't the president and we're talking about the current administration. The failures of the prior administration do not give an excuse to the current administration for their failures. But what I want to talk to people who agree with me on this about is stay focused on the Biden administration because that is the administration. Don't lose the plot, right?
What about people who say that what the Biden administration, I mean, he's only 9 months in, he's cleaning up Trump's mess.
He's not, though. Like, the failures are still the failures, right? He's only 9 months in, but his failures are what, like, I don't see anything that Trump did that would pass over into this because most of what he did was an executive order, and that's what has made a lot of the mess now is more executive orders. So
I think the thing, too, about that instance, because that's what most people would say. People would say, well, he's only been the president for 9 months. President Biden's only been in there for less than a year. And if there are troubles, it's going to take President Biden a long time to clean up the mess that is left behind with Donald Trump. But I would be looking at the southern border, like we just spoke with Jim Carafano, and going, no, this is way worse now than it was under Trump. But I'm judging the southern border on my political beliefs and suggesting that what is needing to be mopped up on the southern border as an issue for me, the Biden administration doesn't even go to the southern border. They don't see it as a problem. So I'm like jaw dropping, you know, with the hands extended out going, how can you not see this? This is a disaster. This is the worst thing ever. That's not the problem that the Biden administration is there to fix. You know what they're trying to fix? Climate change. And you know what I'm not screaming about needing to be fixed? Climate change. So we're having different conversations. Mm-hmm. What looks, that's you know, why I asked Jim Carafano that question when we were discussing before the Fox News report on the Pentagon official saying that we are maybe 6 months out from a potential terrorist attack here in the United States. 6 months, and an empowered al-Qaeda that continues to grow in strength. And Jim Carafano, I'm thinking he's going to say, oh, well, you know, it could take in that amount of time, we could see some. He goes, why 6 months? Why not tomorrow? Why not today? That's Jim Carafano's perspective on the issue. And when you compare that with how I see the world and how maybe likely you see the world, you look at what took place in Afghanistan and our just bizarrely horrendous exit from Afghanistan and what that left behind. And we go, this is obviously a gigantic issue. The reports came out today because of Senator Inhofe, Representative Inhofe, I can't remember who it was, it's on my article right here, was asking how many people are left in Afghanistan. Guess what? 450, which is more than the Biden administration has been referring to this entire time. 450 people still remaining behind in Afghanistan. That is a problem. It's Senator Jim Inhofe from Oklahoma. The things that I identify as a crisis, as a conservative, as somebody who lives in the middle of the country, are going to look very different than the things that somebody who's going to be arguing from the left is going to say they see as a crisis. So, like, agreeing on ground terms about what you're going to discuss and argue with somebody, we generally don't even have that foundational understanding of what we're trying to defend, criticize, and resolve. Whoever gets to the resolve step anyway, nobody wants to resolve anything. Everybody assumes that they're right, and they think that if they espouse a bunch of and explain a bunch of facts that they believe to be true, that eventually the person on the other side is going to come to an agreement and be like, well, you've brought the facts. It's not the way we communicate with one another. It does devolve into Trumpism 90% of the time. It ends up being about Trump, which is why I just don't know that at this point in time, I think that he would be infinitely better for the country if he were the president. I think that he has the opportunity to potentially win in 2024. But I also think that a Ron DeSantis, who is my ride or die at this point in time, would be the best thing for the country as a whole because it takes the Trump card out of the deck. So we're seeing this, and Brad is like, watch. I know that if you were not here, you would be all over this in the chat.
Yes, I would be chatting and commenting. As a matter of fact, I already sent a tweet to StreamYard. So is there a way that I can comment as myself in a backyard way, background way, so that I don't have to comment as the Annie Fry Show? So it's like, now if it's
just
me,
just don't say stupid things.
I try not to
say bad things under my name.
I never say stupid things.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. Not on air.
Not that we've encountered. There's been no mopping up of any issues yet.
Yet. But it's a goal of mine to not have any of those issues to mop up. But I would like to be able to engage, because that's what I did before I got on air. Mm-hmm. Is I would engage with listeners and other chatters. And we had good conversations. And sometimes they were productive and sometimes they weren't. But, you know, what I want most out of a conversation isn't necessarily for you to agree with me. I want you to understand where I'm coming from. You know, that's the foundation for, like, I know we use this word a lot, tolerance, but tolerance means you don't have to agree with the other side. You just allow the other side to have their view. You tolerate it, right? So if you understand where I'm coming from and I understand where you're coming from, we don't have to agree, but we can at least be amicable, because we know where the motives are of the other person, instead of assigning motives to people. When you assign motives to people, you usually assign the worst motives.
Well, that's really the only conversation that usually takes place in political discourse. Because the person on here, GH, who is on that's his YouTube handle, who is, I say his, I don't know that it's a male, I just gendered that person, I'm sorry. This individual is, you know, pressing questions about Trump. So, and in an immigration standpoint, you know, President Trump was actually pretty liberal in the way that he approached the immigration issue, and they almost got a deal done. And he could not bring together the far right part of the Republican Party to agree with what I thought what he was doing was good. And I think my recollection is that there were other conservative talk show hosts that felt like he was being way too far to the right when he did what he did. And he didn't get the job done. He didn't get the immigration deal done that he wanted to get done. He wasn't able to marry the two. When we compare what did Trump succeed at and what did he fail at, of course there were a lot of things that he did not succeed at. And, he probably wanted 8 years in order to be able to get that done. Now, if Biden is the president now, yes, part, in my opinion, of what Biden's administration is what takes place in the wake of the Trump administration, because Lord knows in the wake of the Trump administration was what took place in the wake of the Obama administration. We have to get to the point where we start talking again about policy and not about politicians, because it does not matter to me what politician is winning if the country is winning. It does not matter to me what Donald Trump, you know, what point goes in the Donald Trump category and what point goes into the Biden category. Where is the American category? It's what we should get back to talking about. And when we get to the point where we can talk about that again, we'll be better for it. Ken Paxton, the Texas Attorney General, when we come back.
This is the Annie Fry Show. Interact with Annie on Facebook. The Annie Fry Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.